in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy to thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Basis of our thinking this morning, coming from the 14th verse. It said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy to thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Based on those verses, we'd like to use a thought of subject this morning. There is no God like our God. Amen. There is no God like our God. I have to throw in there, if you don't do nothing down here, you're not going to need much rest, and you may not even get over there. Work while it is day. Faith without works is dead. So don't get excited about resting easy when you already rested. We got to keep it real. Because so many of us think that just because God is God and God is merciful and God is loving, we're going to make it. But there are still some conditions in order for us to get there. So, you know, that's why we're here. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we go to Bible study. And we have our own personal studies of the Bible so that we can learn what is it that God requires of me so that I will be able to get there. And once I get there, if we get there, you know, I would love to think that I'll be resting. But if I make it in the gate, I'd be so excited I won't be able to be still. Somebody be like, somebody need to catch hold of him. He's been acting crazy ever since he got here. What a joy that will be. Because we must understand this morning that we are not here to stay. We either going to die and rest and wait on him, or he's going to come back and get us while we're yet alive. So either way or another, this world is not our home. So no need of us getting so caught up into the things of the world. It's good to be here because this is our passageway. But you know, we ought to be excited about that other shore. We ought to be excited about that other place. We ought to be excited about where we are trying to get to. And if you get excited about where you want to go, then you will remember it and be thankful for where you've already been. You see, all of us in here know that we hadn't always been so good. We hadn't always been so nice. We haven't always had that mindset that even on a rainy Sunday morning, I don't care what the weather's like outside, I'm going to the house of God and I'm going to give my God some praise. We have to be considerate of our loved ones. Don't be mad at them because they feel like laying in this morning. We've had our days when we wanted to lay in. truth be told, if some of y'all didn't have to sing this morning, y'all might not be here. If I didn't have to preach this morning, I might not have been here. We find it too easy to point the finger and be judgmental about what somebody else is doing and where they are with God. But don't nobody know where you are with God but you and God. Thank God that we still got some secrets that are unknown. Thank God we still got some things that man don't know. We look at that outside covering and we may go through the motions, but the motions don't make us be what it is. Anybody can frown their face up. Anybody can stomp and holler and jump up and down. But once you land on your feet, do you have anything that's going to be solid up under you? So that's why I'm grateful this morning. To be able to stand and declare the word of God to you, to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is another day that the Lord has allowed us to yet still be counted amongst the living. Reminded a song that Sister Cat sang that morning train. It ran this morning. But ain't you glad it didn't stop by your house? Saved and sanctified as you are. You wasn't ready to go this morning, was you? So I'm glad that it didn't stop by 506. Life is a wonderful thing to have, and those of us that are yet still counted amongst the living, we have the freedom to worship God. And we can do in the house of God because if we know it, not only in the house of God, but in your house, in your car, in the grocery store, down in Walmart, if the Spirit of God starts to move you, you can have tears coming from your eyes. And people may not know what the tears are all about. They may think that you're in trouble or you're sad, but you might just be so thankful. I looked over there and I saw a brother that can't hardly get around, but look at me, I'm standing up tall. If you got a compassionate heart, those things will move you to a degree sometimes that you're just thankful that you are who you are and things are working out for your good right then. But don't get the big head and think that because you're up and you're erect right now that there's not a day going to come where you might be bent over. That's why sometimes I see some of them young folk lazy, riding around in the cart. Get out that cart and pick up whatever grocery you come to get. Let somebody that need to be in the cart get in the cart. I needed to be in the cart, and they tried to get me to get in the cart. I said, I'm going to hold on to this stroll, this buggy. I ain't getting in no cart. Hold on to me. I ain't getting in no cart. Don't allow your mind to make you cripple yourself. You got to have that faith walk. You got to have that thing in your mind. And I do understand there are some that need to be in the cart. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you still can move, you don't have to move fast. It don't take no time to spend that little change in Walmart. So you ain't going to be in there too long, no way. Let you down there gossiping and talking, and I hate running into them kind. Let me get what I got to get so I can get out. God has been good to us. And we ought to be trying to get closer to him. We ought to be able to say, I thank God for who he is. I'm thankful this morning to be here in this household of faith. I thank God for what we stand for and who we are, and even our motto that declares everybody to be somebody. Because our God has no respect of persons. And when he gave his life on the cross, it was for all of our sin. It wasn't just for you because you've been on the right side all your life, but it was for that man, that woman that had been going through. That man or that woman that had those days where they were walking up and down the street, drunk as a skunk and didn't know where they were still in the world, but they are somebody. That man that's out there right now that may be strung out, he is our brother. He is somebody in the eyesight of God. And all we got to do is learn how to give him a little more time. He gave you time enough to come on in. So all we got to do is let our light shine sometime out there in the darkness and let God's marvelous light shine within us, and we can allow somebody to know that there is a God somewhere. See, if you're one of those that ever been out there and now God has seen that you've made a big change, and the people see there's a change in your life, it'll make somebody else believe that if he can do it, if she can do it, I can do it. And it don't take a whole lot to do it. The thing is that you got to know that you can't do it all by yourself. Then you got to learn how to take it one day at a time. You got to let God manifest himself in you. You got to grow in God. I love reflecting on that scripture in John 15 and 13 where it says, greater love have no man than this, that a man that will lay down his life for his friends. He is our friend. And it's his desire that we would love not only him, but love one another as he has loved us. And I wonder this morning how often, if ever, we think of the magnitude of God's love and what he really did for us. For the Bible teaches us that while we were yet sinners, he still died for us. While we were up and down the street and in our mess, God died for us. While we were still doing everything but the right thing, and sometimes we were having that fake church. We knew how to come in. We knew how to say holy, holy, but we didn't walk holy. We didn't think holy. We didn't have a holy attitude. We got to learn that. And sometimes just because you got a little bit of Jesus in you, don't get so holy that you just make people sick. So some of us get too holy. You got to still walk down here upon the earth. You still got to know that you got to interact with those others that are not as holy as you are. And you don't want to make yourself seem like you stand out so much that you are above them. You ought to have a radiance about you. You ought to have something, excuse me, you ought to have something within you that would make them realize that you are a child of the King. Your conversation ought to tell it. You don't have to tell nobody you saved. But you ought, by the way you act, somebody ought to know that you saved. By the way you handle when people mistreat you or people lie on you or people try you, that ought to let somebody know you got some God in you. You know how it is. Sometimes you can talk to some folk and then immediately you know they know something about the Lord. You know, we don't have to wear a big old sign on our chest. We don't have to say every time you see somebody, I'm highly favored in the Lord. All of us are highly favored. They're drunk, highly favored, because he got some alcohol from somewhere. He still counted amongst the living. He still got another day's journey. You think you're saying something when you say that? Highly favored. Say, okay. That does not put you in another category of people. You are still just God's people. I'm so glad to have and know the grace and the mercy of God, the unmerited favor of God, the mercy of God, that compassion that he can look at me and know that I'm a wretch undone. But if I call on him sincerely from my heart, he will hear my humble cry. Am I talking to anybody in here this morning? To know that he is a forgiving God. God the creator, God the sustainer of the universe, who has provided humankind with a revelation of himself through his son, Jesus the Christ, whom we know through a personal relationship by the faith that we have in God. If you say that you are a Christian, if you say that you're on the Lord's side, then you got to have faith in God. And if you got faith in God, you ought to have some type of relationship with him. It's good to have a good mama. It's good to have a good daddy, but you're going to need the Lord. So you need a relationship with the Father of all fathers. Our God is the one that in the beginning created all that is. Our God said, let there be, and things came into existence. God is a spirit. God is all powerful. God is unchanging. God is all knowing. He is eternal and he is righteous. God is love, and truly God is the truth. God is a promise keeper. And the question to you this morning is, do you know who God is? You got to know God for yourself. It's all right to say mama and them prayed for me, but have you started praying for yourself? It's all right to know that somebody in the church house ought to be able to get a prayer through, but can you get one through at home on your own? Sometimes, especially with some of the people that we have in leadership and in authority positions in spiritual places, if you're waiting on them to come and pray with you or for you, you're going to be waiting. So you better know how to talk to God for yourself. And as you notice, I didn't call no names. So don't go saying I'm talking about other folk. The shoe, if the shoe fit, wear it. Get too tight, take it off. We know that it's important that we have that relationship with him. But along with that relationship, we got to have unwavering faith. When we are down to our last dime, when we are sick on our sick bed and the doctor began to shake his head, the doctor began to say, I don't know what's going on with you. We're going to run this test and we're going to run that test. That's a good time to start talking to the master. So Lord, let them run whatever test. And your thing is that I want you to find out what's going on with me, but I'm going to talk to the one that I know knows what's going on in this body. And if I talk to him, whatever it is, there's nothing impossible with him. And then no matter how many tests they run, whatever the results they bring you, you got to know that that's not the last word. You got to walk by faith, not by sight. You got to know your God is a jealous God. You got to know that the God that we serve said that thou shalt have no other gods before him. And yet still today, there are people that reverence other gods as their God. Everybody don't love God like you love God. But I come to let you know this morning, there's no God like our God. There are those today that still look at old fat belly Buddha as a God. You can sit there and meditate all day and all night long, but Buddha ain't going to move. Buddha can't move and Buddha can't move you. Baal, Beelzebub, now Beelzebub moving some folk, but he's the wrong God. You got to know who your God is, the God that's going to do what needs to be done. But there are still folk that their God is the sun, their God is the moon, their God is the stars, their God is the money that they got in the bank, as well as their houses and their cars. But I come to wonder how anything made out of something that God has made, how can that be a God? Whether it's gold, brass, or silver, there is no way that they can make a God out of something that God made. You must be crazy. Just because it's shine and glitter and you say with these words that it's all of that, it's not going to do nothing but sit there. That was the problem with the children of Israel. They found it so hard to trust in the hard time the word of God and to stay true to what God had commanded them to do, to have no other God before them. That's why things began to fall apart. They allowed themselves to fall in the trap of serving idol gods and false gods, turning their back on the real, true, living God. And after all the warnings and the prophecies that God sent them for they could make a change, they refused and caused the wrath of God to come upon them. Want you to remember, if you don't remember nothing else this morning, there's no God like our God. When we look here at the words of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Letting the people of Israel know that they would go into captivity for 70 years. But they had an expected end to be restored back to their land. He encouraged them while they were going through. He let them know, don't get so bent out of shape. When you get over there, and even though you're in captivity, you go along with the flow. Don't worry yourself to death, because if you just go along with the flow, I'm going to take care of you. You will still be able to have some children and more generations, and some of you are going to die in those 70 years. But after the 70 years are over, you got an expected end. I'm going to return you back to your land. So if I'm trusting that God, then I know that while I'm going through, I'm just going through. That's why I believe that David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil because I'm not going to stay there in the shadow and wallow. I'm not going to stay in the shadow and have self-pity, but I'm going to keep on going through. And as I go through that valley and that shadow is over me, that shadow is not going to overtake me. Look at the shadows that come in our life, sickness and heartache and pain. But it's just a shadow. All you got to do is keep on moving, keep on trusting, and keep on believing that the God you serve is going to bring you through. Did not he say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So while I'm in the shadow, no matter what the enemy throw my way, I'm going to still remember that God is with me. I'm going to still remember that if I hold on to God's unchanging hand, somehow, some way, everything is going to work out all right. I'm going to know that I got an expected end, that God is going to come to my rescue just when I need him the most. Anybody know that song that says, when I need him most? Jesus stepped right on in when I needed the most, when I was ready to give up in despair. And it seemed like every time I turned around, it was one thing after another. But I looked around and found out that God stepped into my situation. Oh, glory be to God. And when God stepped in that situation, you began to see a brighter side somewhere. You begin to see that somehow, some way, everything is going to work out all right. You begin to realize there ain't no need of me sitting down and mumbling and grumbling. I'm going to praise the Lord anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. Do we have any anyhow praises in the house this morning? Through hell or high water, I'm going to give my God some praise. I got to be encouraged. While I'm going through, the Lord said, if you go through, he told Jeremiah, tell him this, you should call upon me and you should go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you. In other words, I'll hear you when you call on my name. If you seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all of your heart, I'm not that far away. I'll be right there. Take me into the operating room. I'm not going inside the operating room until I talk with God. Yeah. Give me all the medication. You can knock me out. But before I get knocked out, I'm going to be there and talk to my God. How many of you ever had to go and be knocked out? And you say, Lord, I want you to go with me. Lord, I want you to make everything all right. Lord, I want to wake up from this thing. There's no God like our God. But he was telling them, in other words, God will answer. God will show mercy. God is a forgiving God to those that are sincere from the heart. So this morning, as we explore what's happening in our text, dealing with King Solomon, who is the son of King David. King David was known as a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord and he praised him for all the mighty acts that the Lord had bestowed upon him. David realized that I'm the youngest of all my father's children, but out of all of them, God chose me. You know, sometimes you begin to wonder, am I just that special? No, you're not that special. It's just that's the thoughts, that's the plan that God had for you in your life. See, that's our problem now is sometimes you get a little elevation, then you think that you're better than somebody else. But you got to know that God has a plan for you. God didn't elevate you to get the big head. God elevated you so that you could reach somebody and let them know that there is a God somewhere. So we look here. Realize that he was a good, faithful, religious leader. But as we well know, David was not a perfect man. Just as you and I have seen, David also has sinned. David had high hopes of rebuilding the temple of God. But God wouldn't allow the task to be built by him because he had reserved that for King Solomon. You see, that's why when you go back up to what Jeremiah said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. I know what I'm going to have you to do. So when you're sitting there and you're worrying about how in the world we going to do this, how in the world we going to do that, God already got it worked out. You got to have faith enough to look at the unseen and believe that I don't know how he's going to do it, but however he do it, hallelujah, anyhow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We look here, realize that David was a great man. Now, David was the one that God put in place. But because God is God, God can use whomsoever he wants to use. God will allow things to happen however he wants them to happen. As I began to read this text, I realized that I could see myself and I could see Dr. Betts. You see, Dr. Betts laid a great foundation. We were up there in that side of the church is our old church. And I can remember sitting where the choir stand was at the back, and it was real high up. And so a lot of times being on the back row, I could look out the back window and look down at the schoolhouse. Supposed to be paying attention to church. Little did I know that one day God was going to take me from the choir stand and put me in the pulpit and even allow me to be the next leader of the flock. But now let us look at God. God realized that Betts labored in this vineyard. He was a man that had strong conviction that somehow, some way, we gonna make it. I remember so vividly where he'd always would say, how can I lose with the stuff that I use? And so he allowed us to build this sanctuary. And those pews that they're sitting on right there, they were down here in the sanctuary. But we look at God. We look at God. Betts labored in this vineyard. Betts was here when they got the meeting together and they ordered the pews that you're sitting on right now. But he died the week before they came into the house. God brought him so far. And he thought that he was going to be able to see the beauty and the splendor and the advancement of where God had brought us from. But God took him on the glory. And little did we know that little old John Willie Cade would fall into his footsteps. And when I looked at that text, I realized that I had some big shoes to fill. Anybody that knew Dr. Betts would always tell me, man, I don't know how you're going to come behind Betts. BK. Because God had plans and he had already worked it out with how he was going to work it out to touch the people's heart, to touch the people's mind. That no, there's a whole lot of overqualified folk that you could have called in, but I want Cade in the house. See, I'm not here because of education. I'm not here because I'm so special. I'm here because God so ordained that I would labor in this vineyard. There's no God like our God. So when I look at this text and I see Solomon thinking about, look at what my daddy did. I couldn't help but think about all that Doc did. Don't you know, as time began to go on, I thought that I'd never be Betts. And I'd never be Betts, but I watched him so closely. I was taught in and I was tutored under him, and he was my mentor, so I picked up some things from him. That the real work is not in here preaching a message, but you got to get out in the community. That's why. Sometimes you hear folks say, look like every time somebody die, they foul chapel. Because that's what we were taught. Open up the door. Do for others. Do what we can for the community while we can, because there's a blessing in being a blessing. I don't take it lightly. And I feel like Solomon didn't take it lightly. For the Bible declares in our text, and I'm going to move along. I got to move along. Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in thick darkness. In other words, if you build the temple, I'm going to fill the temple with my glory. There's going to be so much of my glory in there that you're not even going to be able to see. King turned around his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel, they stood up. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who have with his hand fulfilled that which he spake out of his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build my house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be the ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem. God already has some things in mind, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over the people Israel. Now the Bible declared that it was in the heart of David, my father. In other words, he had the heart to build the house. He wanted to build the house in the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said unto David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in your heart, but I don't want you to be the one to do it. What God has for you, it is for you. Lord, therefore, I have performed his word that he hath spoken, for I am risen up in the room of David, my father. I'm set on the throne of Israel, and the Lord promised, and I built the house for the name of God of Israel. And in it I put the ark wherein the covenant of the Lord, that he may be made the children of Israel. So here's Solomon now. Solomon done built the temple. And after he built the temple, he realized that I got to dedicate and give this building back to the service of the Lord. The Bible says he stood there before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all of the congregation of Israel. He spread forth his hands up unto the glories. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high. In other words, he made a platform. The platform was high enough that all the people out in the courtyard could see him. That make me realize why a lot of times the pulpit is a little bit elevated. So all of those on the back pew can see the preacher very well. And so here we see King Solomon standing there on that platform. But he just didn't stand there because he realized the God that I serve is so good. The Bible declared that he kneeled down on his knees and he lifted his hands up to the Lord our God. As he lifted his hands up and he said, oh, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you. Have you ever realized how good it is to know that God will be right there by your side? I just stopped by to let somebody know that there is no God like our God. When you look into the heavens and in the earth, the God that I'm talking about is a covenant keeper. The God that I'm talking about will feed you when you get hungry. He realized, I got to tell the people of God out in the congregation, those that have kept thy servant David, my father, I know that he'll keep me. The same God that was with my daddy, I know God is with me right now. The same God that Betts talked about, I'm talking about that same God this morning. A God that sits high and he looked down low. A God that when I throw my hands up in glory, I got to tell somebody I love the Lord. Anybody love the Lord this morning? Anybody got joy down on the inside? I just stopped by to tell somebody that when God elevates you to do a job for him, God already knows what you're going to go through along the way. There's going to be some high mountains to climb. There's going to be some low valleys to go through. But the God that I serve this morning, when I lift up my hand and say, oh Lord, there's no God like my God. A God that will heal my feeble body. A God that will take away all of my pain. A God that will be there in the midnight hour. A God that
in the morning. A God that will change my way. A God that knows everything there is to know. There's no God. There's no God. There's no God like my God. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And as long as I claim him as my God, there's no God that can lift you up, turn you around, and make everything all right. There's no God, no God like my God. My God is a great God. And all Solomon wanted to do is let the people know that the same way he heard the children of Israel's cries, he'll hear your cry this morning. Bring it to God. Whether it's in Jerusalem or whether it's right here in South Chapel, God hears your humble cry. He sees your pain. He sees your tears. He knows what you're going through. There's no God like our God. And if you know him to be your God, can't nobody take your God from you this morning. Can't nobody make you deny who God is. If you know that he is your God and you've ever had to try him, somebody said that he'll be a bridge across troubled water. Hallelujah. I gotta go home. There's no God. There's no God. 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 Like our God.